Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
Okay, it's official. We are very much in the final sprint to election day. And face it, between debates, polling releases, even court appearances, it can feel exhausting, even impossible to keep up with. I'm Brad Milkey. I'm the host of Start Here, the daily podcast from ABC News. And every morning, my team and I get you caught up on the day's news in a quick, straightforward way that's easy to understand, with just enough context so you can listen, get it, and go on with your day. So, kickstart your morning. Start smart with Start Here and ABC News, because staying informed shouldn't feel overwhelming.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
You just found the most downloaded fitness, health, and entertainment podcast. This is Mind Pump. Today's episode, if you want to build 10 pounds of lean muscle before winter without gaining body fat, do the following five things. And we give them to you and we break them down. It's a lot of fun. Now, this episode is brought to you by a sponsor, Vuori. Vuori clothing is the best athleisure wear. It's comfortable. It looks good. It feels good. It lasts a long time. You know who they are because they've exploded. They've blown up. Anyway, we can give you 20% off. Go to VuoriClothing.com. That's VuoriClothing.com/mindpump. That link will hook you up with 20% off your order. Also, this month's workout program sale, MAPS Muscle Mommy, 50% off. Again, it's Muscle Mommy. It's for women that want to build muscle, boost their metabolism, build some curves, be strong. If you're interested, go to MAPSFitnessProducts.com and then use the code October50 for that discount. All right, here comes the show. If you want to gain 10 pounds of lean muscle before winter without gaining a single pound of body fat, do the next five things.
Wait a second. Before you drop these five here, let's first talk about how realistic this goal is and what percentage, what factors before we sell everybody on the idea that they could build 10 pounds of muscle with no fat.
No. So, okay. So when this episode airs,
very, very difficult to do. I just want to point that
out. So winter is
coming
technically December
21st.
So winter technically starts December 21st. This episode will air.
Is that really when winter officially starts?
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's the winter solstice. Is that what they call it?
I believe so. Okay. Yeah.
And this episode is going to air on October 6th. So that gives people 76 days. Okay. So, essentially a little over two and a half months. To build 10, by the way, 10 pounds of lean body mass is visible. I mean, you can see and feel that. You know, people have gained 10 pounds on the scale, but it's water and body fat. But lean muscle, I mean, for most men, to give you guys an example, this would translate different to women because they have different, where they hold their muscle tends to be different. But typically for a man to add a full inch to his arms, he needs to gain about 10 pounds of lean muscle. So this is a good, this is a pretty
fill you out.
Pretty damn good goal. Is it realistic? I'd say for the right person who's super consistent, this can happen. Does that mean everyone can do this? No. But I think if you follow the steps we're going to go through, you're going to build some lean muscle without getting body fat.
It's pretty similar. I know we kind of touched on this when we were talking about the Goldilocks zone and like how like all these factors pretty much have to align perfectly. But if you've been consistent and you've been pretty dedicated already and in the gym also with your eating habits, you can just crank a few of these knobs and get pretty far.
There's some examples of where I think this is easier than other examples. For example, someone going through what I'm going through right now would be somebody who would be a great candidate.
Someone who had muscle, lost it.
Yes.
Get the muscle memory.
Yeah, that's number one.
Right. Yeah. Which, believe it or not, is probably more people. Now, obviously, I lost a lot, right? Saying that at one point, just 5-6 years ago, I had 50 more pounds of muscle on me is a huge difference. Yeah. Probably not a lot of people can say that they lost that much muscle. But a lot of people that have trained consistently in the past go through periods of time where they fall off on and off the wagon. And so if you're somebody who's decided you're motivated before the holiday season, like, hey, I'm going to get back on my game here, and you've lifted in the past, you have more of an advantage doing this than, say, somebody who's been consistent for the last year, nonstop, been doing everything nutritionally. They are going to have a harder time. It's not impossible, but they're going to have a harder time accomplishing it versus the person who has already built.
Regaining.
Regaining
muscle happens a lot faster. Yeah. I'd say the second, of course, men are going to build more body mass faster. Number one, we're primed to do so more so than women. And number two, we also just have a larger frame, which takes us to the next one, which is people with a larger frame are going to have, it's going to be easier for them to gain 10 pounds of muscle on the scale because they're just bigger, just much bigger people. And then of course there are genetic differences between individuals, and most people are somewhere in the middle. So if you were to look at the range of muscle building, let's say genetics, these are the two extremes. Over here is like, you know, muscle wasting disease type genetics. Over here is like pro bodybuilders. If you go in the middle of the middle, that's where most people are. Most people are in the middle of the middle. Some people more towards bodybuilders, some people more towards the other end. And the more you are towards genetically gifted, the easier this is going to be. And I haven't run into, honestly, super genetically gifted in the 25 plus years I've been in the space. But when I have been around them, you could tell. So if this is you, you know, if you're like guessing, I think I might have those muscle building.
You don't even need this episode.
But you know, if this is you. And again, I got to say this again, building muscle is a game of grams. What I mean by that is, you know, before you gain a pound of body fat, you have to gain grams and ounces. Muscle is a slow process. Muscle gain is a slow process. Now, why am I saying this? Because consistency is what puts you in the positive when it comes to building muscle, because your body is pretty much almost always either positive with muscle building or negative with muscle building. Now, if you build no muscle, it's because the positive balanced out with the negative. But for the most part, your body's either in positive protein synthesis or negative protein synthesis. And what makes you build muscle is when you're positive more often than negative. What makes you lose muscle is when you're in the negative more often the positive. So the more consistent you are with what we're about to say, the more likely you are to be more in the positive more often of the time.
I think part of this is kind of a great conversation, because it's a topic that I've been trying to talk about with my whole journey right now, is this what we call this Goldilocks zone. And I explain that it looks like when you zoom out at 30 days, and 30 days has gone by, and I've added 5 pounds of muscle and I've lost 5 pounds of fat, it looks like I built muscle and lost body fat at the same time. But that's not really what happened. That's what it looks like when you zoom out and you look at 30 days. What is more likely, or what happened, is there's periods of times in that 30 days where my body is anabolic, and then there's times when it's catabolic.
Building or losing.
And because I'm hovering around the maintenance calories so closely, it's dipping in and out of that so much, and it's never extremely swinging one way or another. And why that's so good to not extremely swing one or the other is, if you are trying to build muscle and you extremely swing on the pro-positive calories to be anabolic, you risk potentially some of those calories being partitioned over to building or to adding body fat,
right?
Because you swung so hard. Same thing is true the opposite way. If you're in a cut and you're trying to reduce calories to lose body fat and you swing too hard, you potentially pare down muscle. And so the Goldilocks zone is when we are hovering around maintenance so close that when we zoom out in 30 days, it looks like we built muscle and lost body fat at the exact same time. But really what happened was you were constantly moving in and out of this, I'm either anabolic or catabolic, and it's so close to where you need to be maintenance that you don't ever risk losing muscle when you're catabolic, and you don't ever risk adding body fat when you're anabolic.
Now, the reason why this is so hard is because it's hard to be consistently accurate, but we'll give you some tips. We're going to get to that. So it's just hard to be consistently accurate, but also because there is a small anabolic effect from eating more calories than your body needs to build muscle. In other words, gaining some body fat sometimes also helps you build some muscle. And so why does that make this difficult? Because if you do more than you need and then you notice more muscle, but you gain some body fat, you might be like, who cares? I'm going to keep moving that direction. But we're going to talk about how to do this without gaining body fat, which is much more of a science and requires much more discipline. And it requires, again, dogged consistency, like ridiculous, ridiculous consistency. Mm-hmm. All right. So step one, obviously you want to build muscle. You want to build 10 pounds of muscle. You need to lift weights, but we're going to give you the recipe for lifting weights, the split that works best for 85 to 90% of people watching and listening to this right now, which is a 3-day a week, full body workout routine. Full body
workout.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you work the whole body each of those days. For most people, this routine will build more muscle, more strength than any other split that you're ever going to try. And if you're listening, like, well, I got to be in the gym more than that. You don't. This routine right here, in fact, built some of the most impressive physiques before anabolic steroids were really ever a thing. Like back in the day, you're looking at John Grimmick and Steve Reeves and those guys, back when most of them didn't even know what anabolic steroids were, they were impressively built and incredibly strong. This is how they all lifted weights. It wasn't until later where in my opinion, the addition of anabolic steroids and be able to stay anabolic all the time and this crazy recovery where bodybuilders increased the volume so dramatically, they had to split the body up into body parts. So for most people, this is this 3-day a week split, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, is going to build the most muscle.
I think there's multiple factors to that, right? Like, so it's easier to program in these compound lifts, I think, in that sort of structure. It's easier to get like the right balance of volume, and the right amount of recovery in between, for your body to actually adapt, which is a major factor. A lot of people don't really consider the fact that you need that extra amount of time for your body to fully recover. So that way, you know, you're actually building, you're not just, recovering from the insult that you've provided your body.
Such a huge point, Justin, probably the most important point, talking about why a 3-day routine, because in my experience, clients that are motivated to move the needle this fast are also motivated to do more, thinking they're going to get more in return. And because we are hovering around this maintenance / little deficit minus little surplus, you want to send just the right signal to the body. You do not want to be hammering it so hard that you're stuck in this recovery trap and your body's never adapting and building muscle. That's a for sure recipe for you to stall and plateau and not see the results. And I think in my experience, most people that are highly motivated to see results and see them as fast as possible tend to overdo it more than they tend to not do enough. I think that's the most common thing you see.
The most correlated aspect of physical performance that is most strongly connected to muscle growth. In other words, if you were to examine human performance and you were to pick an attribute of performance that was most closely connected to muscle growth, head and shoulders above all the others would be strength, okay? Nothing translates to muscle like building strength or training when you're strong. That's the other part of this, right? So, all right, where am I going? Well, if you train your whole body Monday, Wednesday, Friday, let's just talk about legs. If you did 3 sets of legs on Monday, 3 sets of legs on Wednesday, and 3 sets of legs on Friday, you're going to be lifting heavier each of those workouts than if you did 9 sets on Monday. If you did all 9 sets on Monday, because fatigue kicks in and sets in, you're now working more on endurance and stamina and less on pure strength. So that alone makes a big difference. Plus, you're also practicing the lifts more often. You're more likely to do the best exercises because you have the strength and energy to do them. And because there's data that supports this, but it's still murky. But again, you ask strength coaches, they'll back me up on this. If you take the total volume but divide up that volume over multiple workouts versus doing it all in one, it seems to send a louder muscle building signal, probably because that muscle building signal is being sent 3 times that week versus just once.
Yeah, I think that makes a big difference. I think that you're, especially if you're a natural athlete, I think that you
especially
taking advantage of keeping that signal high, because what is it, 48 to 72 hours before that signal kind of starts to dip back down. And so if you're the person that does this upper body split, or you do this one muscle or one muscle group per week and you hammer it, well, sure, you get a big loud signal for the first 2 days, and then it really starts to dip off and come back down. And then you don't have anything that's saying, oh, go build muscle on my legs for another 4 days until you hit it again, versus dividing that up over 3 days in a week. It's like, just as that starts to dip back down, you hit it again. And just as it starts to dip down, you hit it again. And I think that frequency, not to mention, you also choose way better exercises that are going to build more
which
muscle.
Let's talk about that, right? So when it comes to, now there's a lot of strength training or resistance training exercises, and all of them have some value in the right application. But we're talking about just building muscle. Okay, this episode's about gaining 10 pounds of muscle in like 76 days, right? When it comes to building muscle, not all exercises are equal, not even close. So the exercises that you should be doing on a weekly basis in these workouts, maybe not in every workout, but at least once in each of these workouts, should be the ones that build the most muscle. And the exercise I'm about to list will build more muscle than the next 15 exercises combined. That's how powerful of muscle builders these are. So the first one is the barbell squat. Then you have the deadlift, the bench press, and the overhead press. And you could probably throw in a barbell row with that as well. Those exercises just build. In fact, if you just did those five exercises, including the row, you'd build lots of muscle. In fact, a lot of people would be great just doing those exercises alone.
I don't know if you heard the clip. I just did an interview with Doug Bobst. We both did. And he was asking for this advice for, and in regards to the obesity epidemic. And I said, you know, what's crazy is if you literally took two pieces of advice, one of them was following a whole food diet was one piece of advice. The second piece of advice was literally take these five exercises and just practice them. I said 2 times a week. We're obviously talking about optimal building more muscle, burning more body fat in a certain period of time. So this is why 3 times a week makes sense for this person. But we would literally solve the obesity epidemic if everybody just did that. Literally eat as much as you want, so long as it's whole foods, and literally just do these five lifts, practice these five lifts 2 times a week, and you would be blown away at what an incredible, healthy strength. You're not going to go win a bodybuilding show, but you most certainly will build an impressive, strong, healthy physique just literally practicing
those moves. It's foundational. It's kind of funny because I was fortunate to have a weight training class when I was in high school, and we focused just on these lifts and, broke them down because they're each part of these lifts has its own unique sort of attribute to them that you have to learn the skill of it. You have to learn and really break it down. But then we get away from it and we try to add on more, and we try to add all these different variations and, different machines and different things to target different muscles of our body. But when you always come back to it, because it's the one that keeps consistently building and moving the needle.
I wish that I had a story like that. It's because this, and part of why I'm so passionate about this conversation was because I'm on the other side. I made the mistake for over a decade of being the guy who was doing all the creative, silly exercises, like avoiding the big five. I mean, yeah, I might have bench pressed here and there. Maybe occasionally did a shoulder press, more often not a bodybuilder, military type press. Sometimes I rode, but I was doing all the machines, all the creative stuff. And I was not doing the squat, the deadlift, the overhead press, consistently. And I look back now and I look back how hard and consistent and how much I trained in my early 20s to the amount that I have to train to build a better physique at older in age with way less effort by just focusing on those lifts. It makes me so angry that I didn't listen, or I didn't have the right person communicating to me when I was in my 20s, because I didn't do that. I totally missed out on those early gains had I just focused on those lifts.
Now, just some personal experience with this. When I really was training a lot of clients, there was a period of time there when I got a decent amount of clients that were men in their 20s that wanted to build muscle. It was I trained one dude and then he recommended his friend. And next thing you know, I'm training the six guys. Now, the thing about it was that they all worked out. So none of them were complete beginners. They all lifted weights. They all worked out. They all trained the whole body. And the different, what I did was, is I gave them good workout programming. They all followed splits. So we went 3 days a week. And then I had them do the exercises that I said very consistently. And none of them did them consistently. Definitely not a squat or deadlift. Some of them, they all bench pressed, overhead pressed. They didn't do a full range of motion. Barbell row, they never did. Squat and deadlift, they never did. I can tell you exactly how much of a difference in muscle mass just doing these exercises did for them. And it was on average 7 pounds. Mm-hmm. On average 7 pounds of lean body mass each one of these guys gained. And it was mainly from getting strong at these exercises. Myself, you know, when I was a freshman in high school and working out, the year between freshman and sophomore year, I gained so much muscle because I met a group of powerlifters that, and back then I was training my whole body. It wasn't like I avoided legs and did, I did leg press and hack squat and leg extensions, leg curls. And I did all the, you know, cable rows and that kind of stuff. But these guys taught me primarily how to bench press and deadlift. And I gained, as a kid, I gained almost 15 pounds of muscle or weight, I should say, on the scale. Some of it was body fat, but most of it was muscle. And I got really strong at squats and deadlifts. So these exercises, you want to talk about packing on muscle? Yeah. If you miss these exercises, you're not going
to
build nearly as much muscle.
It's the loudest signal you'd be able to provide.
Yes.
Like, hands down.
Yes. Next up is to eat your target body weight in grams of protein. So if you want to gain 10 pounds of lean body mass, that is your target in grams of protein. In other words, if you're 150 pounds and you want to weigh 160 because you want to gain 10 pounds of muscle, you need to eat 160 grams of protein every single day. Do not miss this at all. Now, this one alone makes a tremendous difference. And I would see people gain muscle just from bumping their protein. In fact, a lot of people experience this by taking a protein shake, believing the shake has something magical, when in reality, it was just you increase your protein.
I mean, I attribute the entire protein shake market to this. The reason why it's so popular and it's been a staple in so many people's lives when it comes to their fitness journey is because you do see a significant difference on it. And it's not the magic in the shake. It's that most people miss their protein intake so much that simply adding a 30-gram protein shake to the diet significantly improves your muscle. But I would definitely take it a step further and say, track and make sure that. I mean, I'm going through this process again. I don't know how many times I've done this in my career where I go back to kind of tracking to get an idea where I'm at. And I am trying with all my might to hit protein. I think about it. And then when I go to bed, I'm thinking about tomorrow morning, I'm going to eat this and then I'm going to eat that. Like, I'm like prioritizing it that much. And I still fall short on many days. Mm-hmm. So, and if you were to ask me probably, you know, 10, 15 years ago, if I were to assess the way I was eating, if I was considered that, I would say, oh man, it's high protein. I'm eating 4 or 5 times a day and there's always a big piece of meat involved in it or eggs. Like, I'm eating a lot of protein. But when you actually measure it out and track, a lot of times you might be eating enough protein to be survive and be considered okay and hitting what your bare essentials. But there's a difference between the bare essentials protein and then there's a difference to maximal benefits for building muscle.
Yeah.
And it's closer to that 1-to-1 that you're talking about, which I would venture to say 90% of the people that think they're hitting that are not hitting that.
No, in fact, I bet you right now, if you're listening to this and you already strength train and it's not a terrible workout and you're doing, you know, your workouts and stuff and you start tracking and you know that you're not hitting this number, just doing this, not even following the other steps, not even do the other stuff I said, just hitting your protein targets, you'll see a nice 3 to 5 pound
profound
gain in lean body mass.
Profound.
Just from doing that alone.
Yeah.
That's how big of a difference. And now you want this to come, if it can, from whole natural foods. Okay, that's the most important. That's also important. And also start your day off with high protein, because it is very hard to hit this protein target, especially because it's going to be 10 grams above mm-hmm. what your current body weight is. This is a difficult one, and it becomes impossible. You know, if like me, I'll try and eat 200 grams of protein or more in a day. If I don't have 50 grams of protein for breakfast, it's not happening.
Yeah. You literally have to train yourself to do what you're saying and seek it out. It's not intuitive because, first of all, it's like satiating, which is already like a signal your body, like, I'm good, I'm, you know, everything's fine. And literally have to go beyond that to be able to get, especially in a condensed window like this, we're trying to optimize. Like, it's a huge importance to give you those building materials.
Totally. Now, next up is to every night, and again, this has to be consistent, get 8 hours of good sleep every single night.
Yeah.
Sleep is where the majority of the repair and growth occurs. Not only that, but suboptimal sleep is a fantastic way to take your hormone profile and make it one that is pro-fat gain and anti-muscle gain, okay? Lack of sleep makes your body not want to build muscle, and it makes your body want to gain body fat. There was an interesting study, I've quoted it a few times, where they took two groups of people, put them on the same calorie-restricted diet. So they all ate in a calorie deficit, okay? It was all controlled. The difference was one group got bad sleep, the other group got great sleep. The group that got bad sleep, here's the funny thing. They all lost the same amount of weight, but the group that got bad sleep lost twice as much muscle of the weight that they lost, because it literally primes your body to break down this very active tissue, because lack of sleep is stressful.
Let me tell you the most common mistakes that you will see, and these will be people that are hitting protein and training hard. I can't tell you the first tip where we talk about lifting weights 3 times a week, how often I see this, the over application of intensity and volume. So they're training 4, 5, 6 days a week, hoping they're gonna get the results faster, paired with not getting adequate sleep and recovery and repair. The combination of the two of those is one of the most frustrating things that lead to plateaus with so many people, because they're like, man, I'm hitting protein. Man, I'm training good exercises. I don't get it. I'm training 5 days a week, but their sleep is shit and they're over applying intensity. And that is a recipe for you not seeing results. And it's so hard for people to wrap their brain around, because they know, oh, I know protein's important. Oh, I know I got to go to the gym consistently. I'm doing that. Oh, I'm doing those exercises. They're doing a lot of the right things. But that sleep and recovery goes so hand in hand with the amount of training volume and intensity that you apply. And if those are off, you could be perfect everywhere else and you're not going to see the results that you want to see.
100%. All right. Last, and this one really that I'm about to say speaks to the and not gain any body fat part of what I said at the beginning of the episode, which is avoid heavily processed foods. If your diet is made up of heavily processed foods, you will overeat, okay? They are engineered to make you overeat. There's lots of time and money that's been invested in developing these foods to make them so that you overeat them, and you're not gonna win. You're not gonna be able to eat the appropriate amount to build muscle and not gain body fat. So if you simply avoided heavily processed foods and hit the protein targets and did everything else we said, the odds that you'll gain muscle and it's gonna be lean with no body fat is high. If you include heavily processed foods, the odds that you'll gain muscle and fat becomes very high.
The thing that I love about this tip, or that I find interesting, and this is my personal journey and then with clients, is that if I have a client who is not excited about weighing and measuring every bit of everything that they consume and tracking it like to a T, if they just ate whole foods, listen to their body when it's hungry, fed it every time it felt that way, but just made a choice to eat whole foods and eat the protein first, it would solve this. Yes. I didn't have to have them weigh track of that. If you're somebody that has a really hard time eating whole foods and processed foods makes its way into your diet more often than not, then it becomes paramount that you weigh and track everything.
Because you will overeat otherwise.
You will, because they are engineered to do that. And if you listen to those same signals that will guide you in the right direction with whole foods, it will certainly send you in the wrong direction with processed foods. And I just want to make that clear, because I don't want to demonize processed foods. I utilize processed foods all the time. Greek yogurt is considered that. I eat that every single night, but I'm also tracking diligently. And I also understand that these processed foods can send that signal for me to want to eat more food. And so you have to understand that we're not demonizing that and saying you can't have processed foods. We're just saying that if you do avoid them, it makes this so much easier for your success. If you choose to include them a lot, you got to be really careful about making sure you're staying right around that maintenance, the slight surplus, or that can get out of control really fast. Totally.
All right. Do you have questions, Doug?
First one is, should I track calories as well?
Okay. Tracking calories will get you much more specific. And what that would look like is you would track for a week, you would get what you're averaging, and then you would add maybe 400 calories above that while hitting the protein targets to do that. I think that would make it more likely that you hit this target and goal. But I think if you just hit your protein targets and don't try to avoid eating anything except for heavily processed foods, in other words, don't be like, I'm eating my protein, but I'm avoiding carbs, or I'm not going to, then if you're eating the protein, not trying to avoid food, eat when you're hungry, stick to whole foods, I think you'll be okay.
If I have the option, if a client asks me, like, do you want me to track? And I say, will you track everything? And they say, yeah, then I say, yes. The reason why you hear us give advice the way we give advice is we recognize that a majority of people won't. Right. A majority of people, or a majority of people, will say they will and then they don't. And so we've had to figure out from years and years of experience training these people that say they will and then don't, how do I get them to get the results they want, knowing that they're not going to do some things that would really help me out, like tracking. Therefore, you hear these tips like avoid the heavily processed food, just focus on the protein. And that's going to help pretty much most people get there. But man, if I got an option, if you're willing to track and do that, then absolutely. More data that we have. I mean, I would say that goes with testing your body fat first. I would say that would be tracking your steps. The more you're willing to track, the easier it's going to be for us to make adjustments along the way. But I think the idea of this episode was to give you guys like some takeaways that if you just did this, you should be able to get these results from that.
Next question is, what supplements should I take?
Ooh. Oh, creatine for sure. Creatine for sure. Whether you want to build muscle, burn body fat, improve your health, but you will build more muscle on creatine. Your muscles will be more hydrated, better pumped. They're going to be stronger. And it seems to contribute to faster muscle building.
I'm going to add EAAs to that now. Because this person is, we already know that they're going to be catabolic at sometimes, because they're hovering around close to maintenance to a deficit sometimes, because they're trying to reduce body fat and build muscle. So I think the benefits of having that, just simply as a, just in case you have days where you don't. Now, if you're listening to this and you're like, your goal protein is 150 and you crush 180 to 200 a day. Okay. Well then maybe this is not the supplement for you, but if you know, you're somebody who has to really go after the protein to hit your protein targets, and you know that you miss sometimes, then I now believe that having those EAAs by your side would be very beneficial.
Yeah, and then next would be protein powder. If it's very hard for you to hit your protein targets, then a protein powder can be quite valuable. But you don't have to take any of the stuff that we said. You could do without those things, but they can help.
It's mainly for convenience and to make sure you're on target.
Next question is, should I include cardio?
No. Cardio isn't going to really help you build muscle unless your cardiovascular fitness is holding you back from doing your strength training exercise. Like if your cardio is so bad that you can't do more than 3 reps of a squat because you're out of breath, then you probably want to incorporate some cardio. That being said, for everybody else, just walk every day. Walk every day. It's good for your health.
Yeah.
It's a great activity, helps facilitate recovery. But like traditional forms of cardio aren't muscle building, and they would just be taking away from the recovery reserves that we need for building muscle.
I'm glad you brought that. I honestly would have said no, out of the jump. But like in that situation, if you're the type of person that will always do low reps and will have a lot of rest periods already established, and then want to switch, which again, I don't know if this really made it on there, but switching your focus training wise, will help create a new stimulus. So to be able to kind of switch into higher reps, that's kind of where too, you can look at that as another way of adding a bit of cardio.
Yeah. I would strongly say no, just because the title of this episode is like, the goal is to build 10 pounds of muscle as fast as we possibly can. There is the only benefit you can make the case for with me on where cardio helps is if you can't do more than 10 reps of squats because your endurance sucks so bad. But then even then, I would make the argument of, okay, let's go build that endurance through lifting weights.
Well, yeah, get it through the reps.
And get it through the reps. Right. And so versus, because doing traditional cardio where you're actually running or elevating the heart rate to the cardio threshold is catabolic. It's not pro building muscle. It's not ideal for this person and their specific goal in this short period of time. That is not me saying that cardio isn't extremely beneficial and healthy and good for this. If the person was, I want to be healthy, the most healthy I can be in the next 4 weeks, or the goal was, hey, I want to lose 10 pounds of body fat the fastest I possibly can. Okay, well then you would hear me communicate this differently, because then it's a different goal. But if the goal is build maximal muscle in a short period of time, then
for most people, it's no.
Most people, this is not going to help our cause. So it's why, too, if you're following along the series that I'm doing right now, because the main goal is for me to build as much muscle as I can right now to build my metabolism naturally before I introduce any cardio. Like, you don't see me doing any of that for that exact reason.
Awesome. Look, if you like the show, come find us on Instagram. Justin is at Mind Pump Justin. I'm at Mind Pump DeStefano, and Adam's at Mind Pump Adam.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.